Blog Talk Radio.
Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jules. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Wow, there is certainly a lot of hot air out there, and it's not necessarily about the weather. Whew, this political climate is touchy and irritable and just plain hot. And it's coming from all sides. Well, that's okay. Each group is right and each group is wrong. Anytime something ignites passion from fear, though, expect more fear to dominate. I welcome you to where it's cool and comfortable, knowing full well that at this particular moment, we are all okay. We are. We're all okay. There may be chaos around us, but right now, at this moment, we are okay. We need to remember that everything is going to turn out for the best, for all of us. We don't need to know what is best. We just need to let go and understand that we are all connected to Source, the field, to God. We're all going to be fine. Remember, we are conscious creators. We fully understand that we must set our intentions in a higher vibration and not through the negative emotions. This is the time that we can all get happy by remembering a specific wonderful time in our life and then shifting upward on that. Let those great feelings come to the forefront, because this is the place where we can create a really wonderful, peaceful, and financially secure future for all of us. So truly, do we really want to worry about having insurance, or would we prefer to put our intention on great health and emotional well-being? So let's just stop and transform our energy around this current issue surrounding health. Let's just think right now of the future in which people understand that we must take responsibility for our own health, that we can heal our thoughts and emotions to bring in our perfect health. If by chance, in the future, we may have an acute health issue for ourselves or our loved ones, we know that we will have access to the very best care in the world. So in a moment, we're going to do a little exercise that's going to raise our vibration, and we'll be able to set our intention. We want to do this, that we're setting the intention for ourselves and our loved ones. And we can even go a step further and energize this thought for the U.S. and for the rest of the world. I know that there are people that say that we cannot create the future for another. But you know what? It feels so good to bring that intention in for them. It doesn't really matter. It feels good to us to envision our loved ones or our nation or the world in a better situation. There's nothing wrong with sending positive energy to another. So go ahead, set the intention, and let it just energize out. We just need to realize that the health insurance and health reform is just not something that we need to deal with, especially the fear surrounding it. We'll be able to turn it all over to Source Energy and let it stay there. It's incumbent upon us to shift the atmosphere. So let's do it. Everyone, just breathe in deeply right now. Just breathe in deeply and let it out. Keep on breathing in deeply. And as you're breathing in and releasing,
Just see the energy field around you. Imagine it in your mind's eye and see it just growing to be 6 inches out, then a foot out. Then keep breathing and making it 2 feet out, and then letting it expand more and more and more. You are right now, through your breathing and imagining, you are creating your vortex. Now that you are raising your energy level to another frequency, now you set your intention. And your intention is this. Say to yourself, in your mind's eye, I am healthy. I am stress-free. I am financially abundant. I am happy. I completely release the fear. I am healthy. I am stress-free. I am financially abundant. I am wise. I release the fear. I am so grateful. I am powerful. I am healthy. I see only great things for myself and for my family, for my business, for everything. I am happy. I am stress-free. I am free of all fear. Good. Well done. Excellent. Now, that's the powerful human being that you are. So stay tuned. Jeff Brown, author of Soul Shaping, is going to be coming to us from Toronto, Canada. Let's take a short break for our sponsors. Come discover Canada's most unique and inspirational events, the Body, Soul, and Spirit Expo. Explore the many ways to improve your life mentally, physically, and spiritually as you expand your own consciousness. Attend seminars and workshops with the world's most life-changing authors, experts, and speakers. Body, Soul, Spirit Expo events are throughout Canada to fit your schedule, and with inspirational speakers such as shamanic best-selling author Dr. Stephen Farmer and superfood guru David Wolf. To find a Body, Soul, Spirit Expo that you would like to attend, go to www.bodysoulspiritexpo.com. That's bodysoulspiritexpo.com. Come aboard. Join us for a very exciting and transformative experience on Law of Attraction Radio Network's Cruise to Transformation. All of our talk show hosts are inviting you to their workshops aboard Carnival Cruise Lines out of the Port of San Diego to Ensenada, located in Baja California. 3 glorious nights aboard the cruise ship Elation as we depart on November 6, 2009. We will mix and mingle and learn together as our team of experts set out to take you on a mystical journey of transformation. You will understand how truly magnificent you are as you discover the awesome power of your connection to the field through sheer joy. We want you to come because through you, this knowledge will ripple out to the world. The entire 3-day cruise is so affordable, you can even request payments. Contact your favorite host and tell them to sign me up. Sign up today to reserve your spot. It's easy and affordable because it's how we're going to change the world through knowledge, joy, and pure excitement. So come along, join us as we learn, play, form deep new friendships, and become transformed. For more information, go to loaradionetwork.com. That's loaradionetwork.com. See you aboard the Elation on November 6th. We are back. Well, hey, I announced last week that we had two new shows, both energy experts, Reiki masters, intuitive mediums, and life coaches with us now on Law of Attraction Radio Network. Remember, we have Reporting Live from the Universe with Kristen White. She did a fun interview with me last week, and I really enjoyed it. And then we have Clear Channeling with Susan E. Cotter. Susan's had training as a shaman as well. Both exceptional shows that you can call in and ask your personal questions. Remember that you can listen live from Law of Attraction Radio Network site. So just go to loaradionetwork.com and look up your favorite host. And don't forget to put in your email address so that you can be informed of all their upcoming shows as well. Now, to top all of that off, we have two more exciting shows coming on at the 1st of September. Natasha Abhidharam is a Law of Attraction expert, life coach, and EFT expert doing her show from the European country of Belgium. This is really exciting because Natasha will be able to talk directly with the folks in Europe on their time schedule. Isn't that just wonderful? So all of you in France or the UK or Ireland or Belgium or Sweden or Norway or Holland, you'll be able to contact Natasha right through your computer and ask her a live question on the air. Again, come to Law of Attraction Radio Network and check out Europe's Secret to Success with Natasha. And then we have Jared Hewitt, another energy expert and intuitive, coming on board with his new show, Exploring Energy. You know what I've found to be really true? Once you start discovering the energy that exists around you, you automatically become more intuitive. It's that connection and that power that opens you up. That's why I'm so excited about this cruise. The intense energy that we're going to be bringing about will be allowing people to connect to this power and to really recognize this intensity of energy that is absolutely overwhelming sense of magnificence and appreciation and knowingness that everything is right where it needs to be for you to open up and expand your life. If I could put it into words better, the only thing that I could say is that it's the closest thing to a complete shift into your magnificence. You've always been magnificent. But at this cruise, you will be able to experience your magnificence and how important you are to this world right now. That's why if someone really, really wants to go, send me an email. I will do anything I can to get you on board. That includes giving you a large discount. If you have this strong feeling that you need to be on board, let me help you, because that means you are supposed to be on board. Now, next week we have Dr. Eric Pearl on the show, and he's going to be talking about this brand new, incredible, intense energy that is now within the earth for the first time in the history. He's going to be talking about this brand new energy that we've really never been able to recognize, and it explains why there is so much expansion going on with our consciousness right now. It's going to be a great show, so tune in. And then after that, we're going to have Nan Akashka, who is a wealth energy expert, coming on to talk to us about losing the resistance to making money. Hallelujah! Another great show, and there's more coming. So tune out of the mainstream media and tune in to Conscious Creation 24/7 with the Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Now let's get going with our show tonight with Jeff Brown, author of the book Soul Shaping. You know, Jeff was on over a year ago, and we had such a tremendous response to his appearance that we decided to bring him on back. Jeff lives in Toronto, Canada, and has written a very thought-provoking book called soul shaping, which is the story of one person's struggle to identify and honor his inner conflict while navigating through his misidentification of his emotional issues. A criminal attorney by trade, Jeff decided to forgo the prestige and financial security of his own law office in search of his truth and mission as to why he is here. Welcome back, Jeff, to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
It's great to be back. Really, really looking forward to this show.
You know, Jeff, it's been a year ago May that you came on the show. So what has transpired? Your book is going into second print, isn't it?
No, the book was picked up just around that time. I think in June I did a deal with North Atlantic Books out of Berkeley. And so a new edition of Soul Shaping, now subtitled A Journey of Self-Creation instead of Adventures in Self-Creation, is going into bookstores finally in 2 weeks, on August 25th, 2 weeks today, I think.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So, you know, the self-published version, the first press run was gone pretty quickly, and then the deal happened. All kinds of serendipitous things happened that brought it to bear. And now it's out of my hands. Or, you know, I have dominion over it in a very, very different way than I had dominion over it in the beginning.
So is this a new, improved version of the book?
Yeah, I mean, there's a new cover, and there's testimonials from Ram Dass and Oprah's co-host Elizabeth Lesser and Tam McKeeves, and a lot on the front and the back. And there's a new preface that I wrote that really celebrates the various things that happen on a grassroots level serendipitously to bring the book to this stage. And I talked in that preface about some of the things that I learned about unity consciousness and about connectiveness from the way in which this book moves so quickly into the world. And then there's a lot of various grammatical changes that were necessary, and some new terms for the Soul Shaping Dictionary at the back. And there's a couple of pages at the back, a God is in the People section, and another small section about truth as the gateway to the moment. So, you know, for a writer, any little change is a huge change, but for most people who would read the book, it would feel a little different, but it's still fundamentally the same book. It's still my soul-shaping journey. Very little change with respect to that. It was more in the insight or objective statements about the path sections that I see. What happened for me, you know, is I wrote the book, and I was really coming to terms over time with a sort of a view or understanding of embodied spirituality. You know, what I call enrealment in the book. But when the book first came out, I didn't fully understand that until I really started blogging and really began to understand that I was presenting a model of inclusive spirituality that was very different from a lot of the stuff that's the detachment models that are getting more prevalent in the culture. And so as time has gone by, and, you know, 15 months after talking to you, I have a much different or more complete understanding of what this soul-shaping journey is really about. And so we brought some of that into written form in the new edition.
Wow, what a journey.
It's been growthful. You know, I didn't know that. I thought you just, you know, it's like a singer. You sing you put the song out, and then you keep singing it. And I hadn't really realized that I was going to grow so much in the heart of this process. And that's really the most fantastic part of it for me.
You were talking earlier about serendipitous things that happened and occurred to bring about the book. Can you share some of those?
Yeah, I think, there are various things that happened with the book, very simple things. You know, there was Slim, the homeless guy who was selling the book on the street, and that seemed to be somehow, you know, inspired somehow by the Divine Mother. And, you know, that led to all kinds of energy and activity around the book, and you know, it became much better known in Toronto. People would go looking for him to buy the book. And so that was one thing. You know, I had this one really cool event happen. I had, because of the Slim experience, I was driving downtown Toronto once, and there was a homeless guy in the street, and I lowered my window, and I handed him three books. I said, why don't you just go sell these books and you keep the money, right? Because at that time, I was really thinking about, you know, working with the homeless to distribute this book around the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he took the books, and I don't know, I didn't get the feeling he was so motivated like Slim, but, you know, the next day, a woman named Taylor Jane Green and a friend of hers, Taylor Jane Green was the first person to radio interview me about soul shaping, they were in downtown Toronto, and they decided they were going to go look for soul shaping at the bookstore at Indigo, and like right after they formed that intention, they walked down the street and there was one of those three copies of Soul Shaping leaning against a park bench.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's just the kind of stuff that's happened. The book deal happened that way, and there's just been a lot of other examples around testimonials for the book cover. And yeah, it's really been this fantastic experience of recognizing that, you know, at some point you have to put your will into it. You know, I mean, in LOA, people really get that. I mean, you have to do the work, and you have to energize around what your ultimate vision of your life is. But at some point, if you've either done enough work or the universe decides they want to really support it, it just starts to do it for you.
Excellent point.
It just starts to do it for you, and I think that's what's happened with Soul Shaping. It's just doing it for me.
Well, you did set your intention, and you did take action, and that's part of the formula.
I mean, I think the universe sends us not so much just what we ask for, but really what we need to grow in our spirituality. And so if I had asked, for example, the universe to make a book that I wrote move into the world strongly 15 years ago, they may have done it, but so that I would, you know, self-destruct and learn some hard lessons that I needed to learn. This time, I guess, doing it at this point in my life, I had done enough prep work, I think, inside that actually bringing me what my ultimate benevolent desire was, I think, was what the universe wanted too. You know, they decided I was ready to be in control of this particular soul-shaping process and to bring it into the world, and that I was ready for it. And I think all those years of, you know, psychotherapeutic work had a whole lot to do with that.
This probably would be a good point to catch up everyone on your background, your years of growing up and all of the difficult issues that you had. Give us a little bit of background on what you had to go through.
Yeah. My childhood was tumultuous, and we lived in many, many homes when I was young. My father had a very difficult time sustaining work. My mother had grown up in an impoverished Jewish home, so she had a tremendous amount of anxiety about economic life, and in came my father, who was going to stoke her anxiety further. And I was the scapegoat. I was the firstborn kid, and I was, you know, the one that got blamed because my father was very, very difficult to get a reaction from. And because I was a young warrior, I was full of energy and spunk, I took her on, you know. So we spent the first number of years of my life on the family battlefield. And, you know, pretty much, I think, up to the age of 18, I can't remember, I think we lived in 14 or 15 houses, something like that, and we lost a house, and, you know, we basically fought pretty much every day. Summer camp was my only salvation every year. But what was interesting in terms of my journey was that, like, for the most part, I viewed my childhood when I was in it as my false path, you know, really not as my real life, that, like, somehow this was an accident. My real life was going to be, like, over a mountain somewhere. I was going to find it one day. If I could just be, you know, persevere enough, right, and survive and endure this battlefield. And, you know, so I saw my mother as not really my mother. My, you know, my circumstances weren't really who I was. I was meant for something better, all that. And many, many years, you know, of work on myself as I unfolded in the direction of my true path, I began to understand things differently and, you know, ultimately came to believe that this so-called false path was actually fundamental to my true path and was my true path, and that intrinsic to this miserable family environment were the lessons that I needed to actually grow in my spirituality.
Now, you were a criminal attorney, which lends me to think that you have a very analytical mind. Did you find that your analytical mind actually helped you getting down to the real nitty-gritty of your soul?
It helped me, and it hindered me. I had a part of me that I used to call Encyclopedia Brown, which was my analytic mindy part. And my heady part helped me to pull out of poverty. It helped me to build businesses and helped me to get through law school. And it helped me to, you know, kind of outthink the opposition in various parts of my life. So it was a good friend to me, but it was also a hindrance to the extent that it blocked access to my heart, you know. My ultimate spiritual path really revealed itself through the opening of my heart and through the clearing of my emotional debris. So, you know, the challenge was to distinguish my headiness, to make a distinction between sort of soul-sourced thoughtfulness and kind of like heart-avoidant thoughtfulness. And You know, I think that's an ongoing journey for me, to try to find a way to weave the mind and the heart and the spiritual path all together in one embodied experience. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, it's like anything. It's all about the intention behind it. If you're using your mind to avoid feeling something, you know, that's a different thing from using your mind to actually further your spiritual expansion.
What got you to that point, or how did you discover that your connection was really through the opening of your heart?
Well, I mean, I don't know that it was sort of a mind decision so much. It was a feeling, like a vague and hazy feeling at first, that I was supposed to move in this, that it was like I had come in this lifetime already urban warrior mind guy, you know? Like, I got that one. I had that one down pat. And it was just, there was so much information internally that my growing edge was to go in the opposite direction, to bring myself into alignment. And, you know, so like one example was when I was deciding whether to practice law after I was called to the bar, I had like a spiritual emergency. You know, it was like the warrior was saying, get into the courtroom. That's what men do, get focused. And, you know, that part I called Little Missy, my inner daemon, said, you know, we're going to walk you in another direction and we're not going to tell you what it is yet, you know. And so when I finally just made the decision just to back off from law for that moment, which was a very difficult decision for me, the first thing that happened is I just started to cry. You know, it was like all that unreleased family material, all the stuff I had to put away in order to pull myself out of poverty, right? Mm-hmm. It started to come to the surface, and it was pretty much an unstoppable force. I call it a nervous breakthrough, right? I mean, it was like, you know, that went on for a long time. You know, and then there was a phase much later where I did a lot of rage and anger work, you know, did some bioenergetics and body-centered work, and really, really felt it was essential for me to move the anger, because the anger was blocking my heart chakra. And I took this on as surrender was somehow, you know, fundamental to my spiritual path. You know, I would lie in bed and try to fall asleep lying on my back where my heart was more open, because that felt uncomfortable, you know, unfamiliar to me. You know, as a warrior, you know, I got a lot of body work physically to peel away the layers so I could feel all the levels of emotion that were held below each level of held musculature, you know. I don't know. I mean, it was just spiritually, it was like a spiritual imperative that I tried to move in the direction of the opening of the heart, you know.
So it's your belief that you are being spiritually guided.
And, you know, at the core of soul shaping is really the belief that I came in, and that we all come in with particular soul scriptures that are encoded within you. And, you know, they are the next step in your soul shaping, your soul's journey towards wholeness. You know, there's this library, the library of you, and there's this book, there are books, and there are your scriptures, one after another. And the idea, what we're to do in this lifetime, is to excavate and to uncover what those various next steps are. What is the calling that lives inside of you? What individuals are members of your soul pie that you're supposed to do work with in this lifetime? What lessons are you here to learn, you know? And that's really how I went. I mean, I didn't have words for it then, but this really was how I went through the stages of the process, you know? Mm. And now it just makes complete and utter sense to me. Everything that happened along the way makes sense to me. You know, individuals I would encounter, like Bhagavan Das at a chant in 98, and I go, God, I know that guy. Like, he's supposed to be part of my path, and now, of course, I'm making a film about him. And I'd see Ram Dass at a talk and go, God, like, who is that guy? I know that guy. And, you know, and then he's in the dock. You know, I'd see Eddie Greenspan on TV when I was 14 and go, I'm going to work with that guy one day. And my family would say, of course you're not. We don't go to, people like us don't go to law school, you know. Then, of course, I apprenticed with him for a year. So, you know, now I have profound validation that what I intuited was true about this path is in fact true, that you come in with scriptures, and that it's for you to find out what they are and to start to honor them.
So after all this unpeeling and all of this new spiritual awareness, now you're on your path. What does it feel like to be on a path?
Well, you know, I feel at peace with path, right? And it doesn't mean that every day is ecstatic, right? And it doesn't mean that I'm not into enlightenment as a path. I'm into enrealment. I'm into like getting more into all realities at one time, being really here in every respect. So it's like that, you know, as my path unfolded, I didn't get more ecstatic every day. I just kind of felt more real somehow, you know. Mm-hmm. So like now I wake up in the morning and I'm really solidly clear as to what the next step in my path is, you know? It's not always consciously articulated. It's just, okay, next thing is write the Soul Shaper newsletter. It's like it's in there. It's like there's a scripture that just keeps revealing itself over and over again. And so I don't feel any of that confusion or frustration I used to feel for he who waits on the other side, you know? I had a lot of that. It was like I knew that if I walked into that courtroom and got like really into that and lived that fully, that there was somebody else inside of me that I wasn't going to get to, some door I wasn't going to get to open, you know? And now I wake up and I don't feel that. I know what the next book is. I know what the next path is, the next process is. You know, I know when the book tour's got to start. I feel all of it inside of me like it lived inside of me from birth.
Yeah, you know, we were just talking about that. When you do the necessary work, release what you need to release, find the energy, open up the heart, you're naturally going to be intuitive. You're going to discover that you already have the answers for your future.
And this isn't a hype thing. Like, this really is true for me. I mean, I don't feel like I'm deluding myself. I don't wish I was doing, you know, I mean, I get tired. I work too much. I definitely have, you know, unresolved patterns around overwork, you know. I have other issues that have yet to be resolved. But somehow in terms of directionality, I really feel like this is it.
You get validation every step you take, right?
Yes, with the connection, you get the validations. You get the serendipitous events that occur.
Yeah, you get, you know, you write the blog and then you get this feedback, or you write the book and they write you and talk about how it's helping to transform their lives. They feel seen and connected, and you're validated, and it just keeps stoking you. It just keeps, it's like it gives you breath, you know. You don't have to fight for the breath. You don't have to fight for air anymore because you're starting to get some air from the universe, you know. Yeah. To reach the point where you're on this interview, on the show with me, you must have made a lot of choices also along the way to reach this place, right?
Yes, I made choices, but I always listened to my gut feeling. And if that gut feeling felt passionate, felt excited, then I went with it every time. And then I got affirmations from people, validations that I was on the right path. Life has become much easier and much more rewarding. I definitely have a choice to choose the path that's going to make me feel much better.
It's your spiritual being. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, you just keep listening for the next step towards your truth. You know, that's it. The truth is your gateway to the moment. It'll just pull you a little bit. You know, it's not always clear. I have an audio pod on the site, Befriending Confusion, that's very popular because this is, I mean, the key to the whole thing is you've got to be able to hold into that path confusion for long enough until you get just clear enough to start moving in the right direction.
I'm glad you mentioned your website because it has so much great information on there.
I have a couple of audio pods on the site. One's called The Little Voice That Knows that was so popular that we had to expand the psychopathy, and that was really just about my path. And I added Befriending Confusion early part of the summer. It's also very popular. And, yeah, they're helping. It's, you know, I really wanted to do what a lot of the stuff out there doesn't talk enough about the confusion stages, you know.
Mm.
When I was going through this process, I couldn't find a whole lot of stuff about that, you know. What does a spiritual emergency feel like? I mean, how do you stay in there? How do you have the faith to hold to it? What work do you have to do to really excavate the direction to go, to separate out from the wrong path, you know? And so I put those pods together just to help people through that particular point in the process, because I think that, you know, people have a lot to say about what it's going to look like at the end, you know, but not a lot to say about what goes on in the middle.
Well, that's a profound statement.
You can't live in the question. You're going to keep turning back every time it gets uncomfortable, and you're not going to ever feel comfortable in your soul skin because you're not going to get on your true path.
Wow, that is really great information, and I'm sure many of the listeners want to know where they can find out more. So go to www.soulshaping.com. Jeff, tell me about this film that you are creating.
About 4 years ago, I was connected to a man named Bhagavan Das, who was the man who brought his name was then Richard Alpert, but Ram Dass, to the feet of his guru, Neem Karoli Baba, in the early 70s, and Ram Dass came back and wrote Be Here Now. So Bhagavan Das was like the wild man, the womanizing, brilliant wild man who brought him to the feet of his guru. And when Bhagavan Das came back to America in early 70s, he was already famous because this book had already become a bestseller, I think. And so I encountered him 4 or 5 years ago, and we just decided to do a doc about him. You know, many people had attempted to do docs about him and had not been able to do them or get through them. But, you know, the universe picked the right two workaholic Jewish men to produce a documentary about him. And so we're now pretty much in final edit. It has some really great interviews with Ram Dass about him and David Primel and Miten Sean Korn, David Life, really brilliant people. His Emily Horowitz, his manager, you know, it's a journey movie. It's my connection to him and my journey with him and him. Yeah, it's called Carmageddon, and we hope that it'll be in festivals in 2010.
Boy, I would love to see that. So keep me posted on when it's going to be released. You know, one of the things I really admire about you, Jeff, is that you have this strong calling to service, to help, and to assist people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the first thing you have to serve is your innate image. I mean, it really comes back to the world gets better when you identify your path and, you know, and you embody your path and you manifest it, you know, you really actualize it. And, you know, as it turns out, many of our paths have something to do with bringing our energy into the world, relating to others. You know, my path in particular does. You know, my particular path is to, you know, gift back to the universe that gifted me, right? I mean, it's soul shaping was written for me. Expressing the book helped to honor my innate image, but it also has such a relational component to it, you know. And I don't know, I've reached a point in my journey where for so long it was so important for me to just stay with my own process, you know, like to really individuate, really clarify who I was, and really not to give out so much energy. You know, I mean, I'd grown up not getting a whole lot of what I needed, so I think I had to learn how to give it to myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn how to fill myself up first so that I had something to give to others. And then after, you know, I guess it just reached a point where I was kind of at peace enough with path that my next organic step was just, how do I then share this with others, you know? And I mean, I think his parents have this experience as well, particularly people who become parents when they're already kind of fulfilled about who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really, really ready to start giving outward. And so now, you know, I am, you know, like I want to start a Soul Shaping University. I'd love to fund it from the Soul Shaping movement. I am, you know, I don't need a lot of money. You know, I really, things are very simple for me on the economic end. And so I'd like to create a reality where a fair amount of the money that comes from this mission is really generated from the book and from the speaking and workshops and goes back out to those individuals who, like I was as a child, had profound potential, but really, you know, very few people there to actually help to excavate it and support it. Yeah.
Speaking of universities, I think that's a fabulous idea, but I've just created the University of Attraction in Cyrus World. It's a virtual setting. I have to get you involved with it, Jeff. It is phenomenal because people from all over the world can go and socialize there and actually go to school. It's all a virtual world.
On the web?
Uh-huh.
There's a website for it?
Yes, it's theuofattraction.com. It is so much fun. What I've found is that you can actually feel your creations in this virtual world so that it allows you to manifest in the physical world even faster. For example, I've been playing there for about 4 or 5 months, and I've actually been able to lose weight, about 20 pounds, from being in there. And I have seen businesses take off as well. So it's just fascinating. Another aspect is that there's no discrimination there because you're creating your own body that you can identify with. So people that are disfigured or are obese or maybe missing limbs or arms or appendages or whatever, they go in there and they're normal. They can socialize and not be discriminated against. It's really quite wonderful.
Well, I love this idea. You know, this is the concept of the innate image. So you can go in, if I understand you correctly, and you can kind of physically identify what mm-hmm. form you would be in as a body mm-hmm. if mm-hmm. you were honoring your highest path, for example. And then that physical form, you then have some, I mean, that's what I was striving for in throughout my whole journey, was some physical, I feel like there was this guy inside of me who was the guy I really am. And my work in this lifetime was to find that guy, you know. And he looked like me, but he was like a little more open-hearted, you know, he walked a little different, you know, he was a little bit more at peace with himself. And, you know, to find, so what you're doing on the net then is you're actually identifying what that physical form is so people know what they're striving for.
Wow, I never looked at it like that before.
Because they take on a body for the purposes of interacting on the site.
Yes, that's it. Absolutely. That's what makes it so magical. And it makes it so perfect for the law of attraction. Anyway, we'll get you involved in that. But let's go back to your idea of a university. That sounds very exciting, a university for soul shaping. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, my vision of a soul shaping, you know, I've had two visions throughout this process, starting the book, and, you know, it was an eight-year-long journey. You know, the book is actually being published in bookstores exactly 8 years to the day that I started to sat down to first write it. And so over that 8 years, the soul shaping bus tour has always been a vision of possibility for me, and this idea of a soul shaping university as well. And in that, it would be a physical university, a physical form university, and you know, and we would be dedicated to the opening of the heart and the excavation of our soul scriptures from the library within. And there would be emotional clearing work. There would be, you know, I have a list here of courses: ego shucking, money management, so we can stay grounded, dream interpretation, issue spotting. The list goes on, you know, depth charging. And really, we would gather together psychological healers, you know, Western consciousness people, Eastern consciousness people, gurus or teachers who are, you know, grounded and have integrity and who are focused more on unity consciousness, having experiences of essence, opening to a broader, vaster reality. And we would bring that all together and we would just gather and help people to identify the path that lives inside of them, you know, and then help them to learn how to authenticate it, to actually go out in the world or, if possible, in the university environment and actually test it out and see whether their hint, you know, the cellular phone rings. You answer it, and then you try the call on for size. You check its authenticity against your soul scriptures to see if it's true to form, you know, an environment that would support this way of being, right? You know, and that would be the goal-centeredness. It would be just all about finding out who you are and learning how to honor. It probably has something to do with what universities were originally intended for, but something happened along the way when it became more of an intellectual process rather than an emotional or psycho-spiritual process, and I think it's about bringing all of that together.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. Ooh, very exciting. When do you think that can happen?
That's a good question. Well, we got to get into bookstores first, I think. But, I mean, I have the intention, and I think it's viable. And, you know, I'm thinking about some point in 2011 buying some land on the West Coast, maybe in British Columbia, and trying to make that happen, starting small like Omega did and then growing in size over time.
Boy, that sounds great. And, you know, it just will do so much to help everyone. I really love that. Speaking of everyone, what is your perception about what's going on in the world today? What do you think?
Well, I see some good things. You know, if you get onto Facebook, which I think is a wonderful way to kind of measure the way that people are responding to this so-called economic calamity, you know, and what I had expected when all of this stuff started to fall apart economically in last autumn was really that we were going to go right back to gripping survivalism in our consciousness. We're going to return right back to meat and potatoes. How do I get a job that's going to, you know, reliably provide me with an income and allow me to meet my material needs and basic needs and all that? And what's very interesting is I feel like this is the first time in the history of Western culture where some, you know, recession/depression, people have actually gone from that experience in the other direction,
which was to say, you know what, that whole material path thing is not working for me. That material notion of abundance is not really working for me. Who am I really? You know, what path am I really here to walk? And I think this is a fantastic shift in consciousness that's burgeoning. You know, when I was on Facebook a year ago, you know, the kind of posts were like, some of them were a little spiritual, but really they were just kind of like day-to-day things. Now it is wild how this consciousness movement is spreading. And I feel as though the ancestors must have done enough work to build foundations in the culture, to build some basic need structures, that even when things fell apart this time, we kind of knew that we'd be okay on a basic survival level. And then we started to move on to the next level of consideration, which is to ask the more important questions of what's your path? You know, what path are you here to walk? And you know, I think it's actually fantastic.
I do agree with you on that. It is a real blessing in disguise. But there's something that I'm not able to grasp right now, and it's the fact that there is such a strong division in the U.S. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, I don't know if we're all going to come together that quickly in a world that still is fundamentally rooted in survivalism. You know, I mean, Western culture is economically in a better position than most other places are. You know, I don't know. I think this is a little forward movement that's significant, kind of like the '60s was. And I think we're going to, once things calm down, we are going to return back to this materialistic structure that we've been working from and going too far in. But I don't think as many of us are going to go as far into it as we did before. You know, the vision of a unified planet where there's peace everywhere and we're all just honoring our ultimate path, or at least questing for it, I think that's a long way off. And, you know, I don't want to be pessimistic about it, but, I mean, you have to get all the different subcultures and cultures everywhere vibrating at the same level of consciousness and preparation before we can get more unified. You know, if you have barbaric cultures and you have other cultures that are just ready to start looking at these nuanced considerations, I think it's going to take a long, long time. But, you know, I like to focus on the positive part of it, which is that I think a lot more people are doing it. Like, even when this book came out in the fall of 07, I had very few contacts from men, for example. You know, it was mostly women. And although it still is mostly women, in the last 3 to 6 months, I've had a ton of men contact me asking these more important questions about their lives, more than they were before the recession, things fell apart. You know, and that's forward movement.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
I think that we you know, between the media and the marketing culture, you know, people are so overstimulated that they end up on some kind of a train that on some level they want to get off, but they don't have the breathing room enough to sort of reflect or contemplate on it, on where they are in their lives, you know. You almost needed it to fall apart for that contemplation to happen. But, you know, I just think we just went too far. You know, basic needs are important. Building structures, building foundations, you know, making our homes more comfortable. These things are wonderful and valuable things if the intention is clean, you know. But when it becomes about needing a powerboat, another powerboat, because the cottage next door got a better powerboat, then you know the whole thing's gone too far, you know, because there's no spiritual intentionality. It's not about going deeper into the moment. It's not about genuine connection from your heart outward, you know. And so I think we've just learned, and I hope we've learned this wonderfully valuable lesson, and some of us have, which is that that game is not the game that's going to bring us ultimate satisfaction, you know. Some of it is important. If you're sitting around worried about money all the time and you don't have enough food on the table to feed your kids, you're not going to do soul-shaping work, you know. So that's important work, you know. Building the culture to the point where more people are comfortable on the basic needs level is important. But if you take it too far, they get so far removed from their primal and their raw self that they can't go back into their bodies anymore, and that's not helpful. So suddenly they can't buy the powerboat anymore. The powerboat was repossessed. Yeah, I mean, for someone who's been avoiding their core self, not having experiences of essence, really, really in the game, it is traumatic. Now, it's probably ultimately good trauma if they're willing to really see it as a lesson that's ultimately benevolent for them. But, you know, I mean, I'm not tremendously compassionate towards that, but at the same time, I can certainly understand how easy it is to get caught up in that game. You know, because that game is everywhere, you know. Well, you know, Western culture, you've been feeding people this game, this ridiculous and disembodied notion of happiness and satisfaction for generations, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you took it on completely, you know, this has been a really, really super startling experience. But still, and as I've said, I have found this, and with men in particular, more and more of them are actually willing to look, you know, at deeper questions and considerations. It falls apart, and then they go, now what? You know, instead of grappling and fighting for that powerboat again, some of them are saying, you know what? Maybe I didn't need the powerboat. Maybe I need something else. I don't know what it is, and I don't know where to look, but I want to start looking. I want to start exploring the possibility that there is something on a values level that's going to give me more satisfaction in my lifetime, you know? Because everyone knows in the material thing, you know what happens. I mean, you get the powerboat and you need another powerboat. It never ends. There's never, ever this equanimity or this feeling of peace. It never, ever, ever ends.
Until they lose it all, and then they have to totally surrender and get to a better feeling place.
If and when they're ready to finally surrender. They can play catch with their kids instead of spending $300 going to a ball game watching other people play catch, right? Absolutely. I mean, it's really just about whether or not you're going to extract the positive thing from this great challenge in your life. It's the same question we confront with everything in our lives, right? You know, am I going to resist it? Am I going to grapple and fight for what I had before? Or am I going to allow this to provide information to me, allow me to move forward in my life? You know?
Having a couple of businesses myself, I have noticed that there's a dramatic evolution going on in businesses. People are, our businesses are actually focusing on how much more I can give the customer to get them satisfied to keep on coming back. It's just not out to make a fast buck, but what can I do that they are really going to enjoy and be able to benefit from this product? So there's a huge shift.
Well, the whole "we're in this together" thing is starting to become something more than just a concept. It's becoming sort of a necessity, and it's becoming a reality for a lot of us, you know? It's like, what else do we have other than each other, ultimately, right? We're all members of the same, everyone on the planet at this moment is part of the same soul pod. We're here together for some reason, you know? And it's about allowing ourselves to really settle into that. And, I mean, I've always found that, you know, whenever I'm just giving, you know, like giving to the homeless, whatever, just like something like I got to do. I'm not doing it because I want to get, you know, a gold star. I'm just doing it because I have to do it, you know. Always good things start to happen. It does, you know, it's like I'm honoring the nature of connectiveness, and so connectiveness comes right back to my door. So whatever's happened now has brought, you know, we must have done enough foundational work that we're willing to really embody that idea now. You know, this is the gift of the so-called recession. This is the gift of all this madness, really, that we're now kind of ready to take on the next step in the collective journey, which is back toward one another instead of away from another and one another. And that's, you know, you go on Facebook, you go on MySpace, you go on the connection sites, and it really, you know, you just go look on the posts as they come along. So many of them now are about spirituality and connectiveness. You know, something's changed. I mean, it's really fantastic.
Do you work with energy?
Yeah, you know, I did a Reiki 1 training, and I was in the bioenergetics training program, you know, which is very energetic, energy-centered for a long time. I get a lot of body work, and I also see Reiki people. So absolutely. You know, I've had profound experiences like at Harbin Hot Springs being worked on by energy healers, people who weren't even touching my body.
Do you recommend that people get energy work done?
Highly. But I also recommend doing physical work, you know, getting massage, like really getting into the tissues of your body. You know, I don't think energy work is enough to clear through the emotional holdings in your musculature. I think you have to do all of it, I think. You have to have an experience of the subtlety of the energy work, but also the more tangible work as well. I really want to encourage people to work hard and to understand that this is work. To excavate and identify that little voice that knows that lives inside of them. I really feel that this is the heart. You know, it's like if you don't create a little solitude, if you don't get away from your daily adaptations and disguises, you can have a whole being living inside of you, which, you know, a whole pathway of possibility, which is so satisfying and fantastic when you find it, that you never know about, you know, because you can never hear yourself because there's so much outer noise, you know. I just think it's really important for all of us who are on this path and radio interviews, everyone to talk about the importance of trusting that there is something inside of you that knows intuitively and even tangibly holds a vision of possibility for who you can be in this lifetime, and to do everything in your power to give breath to that voice and to learn how to honor that voice and to trust it. And because without that voice, you know, if I hadn't listened to little Missy, I'd probably be dead. You know, I probably would have just become a prominent trial lawyer and someone would have shot me. You know, I mean, you know, listening to that voice, really, as hard as it was in the beginning, and as how flaky and ridiculous as it seemed, it has proved to be the key to everything that I find satisfying in my life now. So, yeah, I think that's the thing I most want to emphasize.
Jeff, tell us how we can get your book, especially since it's going to be released in 2 weeks. Can we get it off of your website?
Yeah, they can, but they can pre-order it anywhere now. It's on Amazon. The new edition's up for, I think, $10 at Amazon.com. It's in bookstores around the world. You can pre-order from pretty much any bookstore in the system. It's called Soul Shaping, A Journey of Self-Creation, different subtitle, and has a lovely Ram Dass testimonial on the cover. And the book should be in stores sometime around August 25th. Yeah, soulshaping.com is a website. There's all Soul Shaping Dictionary is there, which is very popular. There's excerpts and blogs. My Soul Shaper newsletter is there. You can get on my email list there. And I'm doing a West Coast tour in January and February, West Coast of U.S. and Canada and Maui as well. So if they get on the list, we'll send out information when I know exactly where I'm going to be.
Terrific. Jeff, this has been a wonderful show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Always love your energy. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And to all the wonderful listeners out there, tune in next week because we're going to be talking to Eric Pearl. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.